bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessings upon the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit the message to you because it's all about you. It's your word. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Bind Satan's hands to get us distracted and thinking about other things. But Lord, may we just focus upon you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'll just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Simply means control me with your spirit tonight. I ask you, Lord, just to bless our church. May we see revival in our church. May we see revival in our country. Lord, help us to see increase. Help us to see souls saved. And Lord, help us to be unified, we pray. Lord, you know all about it. You're a God that nothing ever takes you by surprise, and we praise you for that. We ask you, Lord, again to speak to us through your Bible tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your Bible. We don't have to get up and preach our opinion or what we think or some poll that we just heard. But, Lord, we have your holy, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And, Lord, help us to rightly divide that truth again tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, generally speaking, where you are born establishes what? Your birthright and where you are a citizen, right? It establishes, generally speaking, it establishes your citizenship according to where you are born. But what about a child of God? Well, our citizenship gets established in heaven when we are born again. So the instant that you trusted Jesus as your Savior, your citizenship shifted from this old earth to heaven. And we looked at that verse. I'm just going to read it to you. All it says is just, six words. We looked at it this morning. We preached through these two verses. But I really felt God wanted this to expand. I mentioned it this morning at Good Lord Willing. We were going to look at what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? What does that really mean? And it says in this verse, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. And that's primarily speaking of our citizenship. That word there, citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven. Tonight, what does that mean? What does that mean? We're going to be turning to a variety of passages tonight. Angela's going to have a hard time keeping up there, hitting those. The keyboard is going to smoke. She's hitting all these verses so quickly. But we're turning to a number of, there's six different things that I pondered on that really being a citizen of heaven really means. And the Word of God tells us what it really means. First of all, what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Number one, it means that we are under heaven's government. It means that we are under heaven's government. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Notice what it says. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. That's good, right? But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, just a couple things to point out there. We're not strangers and foreigners to God. But it says we're fellow citizens with the saint. And who is the saint? Someone who has trusted the Lord. You don't have to wait for somebody to bestow sainthood upon you. According to the Word of God, a saint is someone who is set apart or set aside. And guess who that is? That's a Christian. So you become, you could call John St. John if you wanted to. Yeah, I know it sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? But technically you could because we are saints. So we're set apart. But it says we're fellow citizens with the saints, the other people who are saved, and of the household of God. So we're part of the family of God. We're part of the citizenship of God and God's family. And what are we built upon? It says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You know what I believe that foundation? It says Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I think when it talks about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, it's talking about the teachings of the apostles and prophets. And you know what that teaching is built upon? The Word of God. So to be a citizen of heaven means that we are under heaven's government. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Now, you may have not really thought about it this way, but this is a real simple verse, and you'll recognize it quite quickly because it's part of the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. It says in there in verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So, see, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God, if you will, has a government in heaven. And the prayer of the Lord's Prayer is that your will be done here just like it is there. Now, I think it's really good that we're under heaven's government because our government fails us so many times. I mean, I appreciate our government. Our government does a lot of good stuff. The Bible talks about government, and it talks about the role of government, you know, basically to enforce the laws. I can tell you the verse. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue, but I can. There's a verse in there. It talks about the government doesn't, I forget how it phrased it exactly, but the idea is it enforces the law, and that's a good thing. So government's a good thing, but once you become a child of God, we're still under the American government. Right? Because we live in America, but ultimately we are under the government of heaven. And when I say the government of heaven, it's a theocracy, okay? God is in charge. Everything is good. There's no imperfections. There's no overspending. There's no underspending. There's nobody being overlooked, right? So what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? First of all, it means that we are under heaven's government. You know, Westerns are many times set in the time frame where states weren't states, they were territories. And you hear it quite often stated by someone, you know, well, there's not much law around here, you know, because we're not yet a state or something like that. Right, John? He will back me up. He is my Western historian, okay? Isn't that right, John? In a lot of ways. Yeah, you took a little further than I was going to, but hey, that's right. That's right. You know, right was might, or might was right. They say, well, we don't have much authority around here. We don't have any law around here because we're still a territory. But when things get really bad, you know, and they can't handle it anymore, they need a lot of reinforcements. What do? They somehow get a hold of the U.S. Cavalry, right? And they say, well, we don't have any laws. Come on, U.S. Cavalry, and that's under the authority of the American government, right? But you see, like that cavalry, like that territory is under the U.S. government in those westerns, we are under the government of heaven, really. The authority of heaven. That's who calls the shots. And I'm loyal to America, but whenever America's laws contradicts with God's laws, guess what? I'm going to follow God's laws every time. It was legal to have an abortion for years and years. In some states it still is because now it's on the state level. But you know what? I'm never going to support that. Just because there's a law for it doesn't mean it's right. So that's where the U.S. government and the government of heaven disagree. Do you see that point? Okay. So number one, it means that we are under heaven's government. Number two, it means that we should get homesick sometimes. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? It means that we should get homesick sometimes. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, I sense a little bit of homesickness in Paul. This is the book we've been going through, verse by verse, right? And that's really the springboard of this message talking about citizenship. But notice what it says in verse 23. It says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two." Almost kind of our expression would be, I'm between a rock and a hard place. Kind of. That's a very loose paraphrase. It says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, what? Which is far better. You know, I can't help but think there's a little bit of homesickness right there in Paul's writing. And you know, if we know the Lord, there ought to be occasions where we think about heaven. Now, you can get to the point, you've heard the expression, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Now, that can happen, but what we need to do, and I find when I think a lot more about heaven, it's whenever I'm going through difficulties. I don't know, is that kind of a unanimous thing, that a lot of times when you go through difficulties, I think more about heaven, because I realize how tough this world is. I'm like, even so, come Lord Jesus, right? You know, I'm ready. I'm thinking about heaven. So it really means that we should get homesick sometimes. If we're truly citizens of heaven, if that's where our citizenship resides, if you will, every once in a while we should think about heaven and say, That's going to be good. Now, again, you can get too preoccupied with that, but I'm talking about a right balance there. We should get homesick. Now, old Squire Parsons, he's in heaven, so he's not homesick anymore. But while he was on earth, he sang a song, "I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before." You know, I really think we as Christians, if every once in a while we don't get a little bit homesick, I'm not so sure. Maybe we're just not living real close to the Lord. I don't know. But I know what it's like to be homesick too. I understand it for heaven, but I've been homesick for home. See, I come up to WVU. I went to WVU for a year and a half from Fayette County. That was a three-hour drive. And I was from a small school. My high school class was about 120, 125. Went to WVU, and you got these huge classes. Huge. Teachers up. I didn't care for it. I just did not care for it. I was homesick. And every weekend, every chance I got, I went home. Now, occasionally, I stayed up. I think I may have seen two or three football games up there while I was there. I was there a year and a half, transferred to West Virginia Tech. But I was homesick. I know the pastor that married us, one day I called him. I was so homesick. I was crying on the phone. He couldn't even understand what I was saying. You know, he was a pastor up there. He was a Baptist campus ministry pastor. And I remember him saying, "Yeah, I couldn't even understand what you were saying." I was just so homesick. You know, I was young at the time. I mean, that was about 100 years ago. But I was really, and then being in Connecticut when Amy and I were first married, it was a great place to be when you were first married because we couldn't rely on mom and dad. We couldn't rely on friends. It was just us and God. God blessed us with a good church. And ended up being up there a couple years in Connecticut. So it was good for us, but we were homesick. And I remember trying to find a job back in West Virginia. I had a really, really good job. I mean, the kind of job that people are like, I mean, I'm not talking about financially. That was pretty good too. But it's like, wow, you're an engineer and you get to do that. I got paid to break things. Really, it was helicopter parts. See, I worked for a helicopter, Sikorsky Aircraft, you know, the Blackhawks and the Super Stallions. And I got to test the parts off of helicopters and establish what load would break them. So we'd put, you know, load cylinders on them, hydraulic cylinders on them, and just crank up the pound, the force against it. And if it broke, we'd say, "It broke." Then we'd write down a report. "Yeah, it broke at so-and-so." Or sometimes we would cycle them, you know, with dynamic forces like this to establish how often that part needed to be replaced on a helicopter. So, I mean, I had a really good job, but my homesickness overshadowed that. I want to go home. And so I know what homesickness is like. But every once in a while, we ought to have a little bit of a yearning for heaven. I mean, I really believe that. I think it's healthy to have a little bit of yearning for heaven. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Number one, it means that we're under heaven's government. Number two, it means that we should get homesick sometimes. Number three, it means that this is not my home country. It means that this is not my home country. Now, I told you this morning, because I kind of just dabbled in it just a little bit, this idea of citizenship. I'm very thankful to be an American. I mean, I will defend our country. I will stand up for our country. I am thankful for my country. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But really, when I become a child of God, my citizenship shifted from the U.S. of A. there. Now, in this earth, yes, I'm proud. I'm proud to be a West Virginian. You're not going to find anybody more, and I think in the right way, more proud of West Virginia than I am. I mean, you don't want to talk too much bad about West Virginia if you're not from West Virginia. You know, you better watch out. Right? We kind of feel that way. Isn't that right? John, isn't that right? All right, break out your six shooter. You know, the one referred to at point number one. Oh, okay, yeah, that's true. Hers is bigger. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm thankful to be a West Virginian. I'm thankful to be American. It's the greatest country on the face of the earth, and I'm thankful for that. Still, it's still the greatest country. We need revival, but it's still. But when I become a citizen of heaven, this really is not my home country. You know, we spend, I think about this because math is one of my things. I think about this. You put, how long are we going to be in heaven? forever. You know that little symbol on its side like this that means forever or for infinity? If you put that on the bottom of a, y'all remember what a fraction is? Yep, okay. If you put that on the bottom of a fraction, and then how long at best are you going to live in this world? Yeah, 70 is the Bible talks about 70 years. Some live to be 80. Job's 95. Some live to be 100. So you can even say, I'm going to live to be 120. Maybe you'll make it. I don't know. But you put 120, even a big number like that, over infinity, and guess what? You know what it is essentially? Zero. Because the bottom's forever and ever and ever. And our little 120 years in this world over that is essentially So we're only going to be here for a little blip, just for a little time. I mean, how many of you can get your brain wrapped around how old you are right now? It's like, man, what happened? I blinked. I was a good-looking fella looking in the mirror, young and vital, and being able to run and do pass the football and do all that. And then you look in the mirror like, who in the world kidnapped that guy? What happened? I mean, have you ever had those days? Life is passing quickly, but heaven is forever. So I'm thankful that my permanent residence is heaven. Right? My citizenship. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Notice what these verses say. It's really good. Really good stuff. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. We read this morning, didn't we? Seek those things which where? Are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, this is not my home. The earth is not my permanent dwelling. Now, I'm going to have a new earth that I can spend some time in because there are new heavens and a new earth. Remember, y'all got that? Remember? But it says, if you're risen with Christ, if you're a child of God, seek those things which are above. And we talked about where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your effect. What's the problem with a lot of Christians today? They've set their affections on the things on this earth. I mean, my goodness, if a lot of Christians would put half the effort they do into the things of this world for the cause of Christ, we'd be seeing some things happen, right? It's pretty, I mean, to me, it's amazing how clear those verses are. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Number three, it means that this is not my home country. And we're not supposed to set our affections on this earth because it's going to be very temporary. I say jokingly, but really in reality, for all the things that so many people work for, all it's going to do is cause your family to fuss over it when you die. You might as well put it to God's work. Unfortunately, inheritance and money brings out the worst in people. I've seen it. I've seen it so many times. Not necessarily in my family, but I've seen it in other families. Because I'm around a lot of families going through bereavement. And it doesn't take very long to figure out that this one's not real happy with this one right now. Because this one over here is getting the farm and this one isn't. You know, it's kind of like, but that kind of stuff happens, doesn't it? But we're not supposed to set our affections in this world. You know how a lot of people, I think it's pretty cool. They'll have shirts that say home on them. And the O is actually the shape of West Virginia. Have you all seen that? You know, really what it ought to be for a Christian? Now, this would be kind of hard because we would have a cube. You know, home, and the O would be a cube. Because New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. So that really is our home. Y'all still with me on that? Some of you are like, a cube. It's probably a cube. A cube. Yeah. C-U-B-E. She's still learning this Southern West Virginia accent. Come on. A cube. A 1,200 or 1,500 mile by 1,500 mile by 1,500 mile city. And to put that in perspective, I don't know how you get that much on one t-shirt anyway, but if you got just a cube there, it could represent heaven. But to give you an idea, it's roughly 1,500 miles from Clarksburg to Denver, Colorado. Wow, that's a long way, don't you think? Wow. So, what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Number one, it means that we are under heaven's government. Number two, it means that we should get homesick sometimes. Number three, it means that this is not my home country. Number four, it means that we don't fit in too well in this world. It means that we don't fit in too well in this world. Why is that? Because we're aliens. Really, right? We're different. This is not our home country permanently. So we don't fit in sometimes because we are to have, under the government of heaven, if you will, under the authority of Jesus, we're supposed to be different. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. Now, this is really interesting. This is really interesting to me. I'm not sure I'd paid as much attention to this as I did in this message and in this point. This is the faith, the Hall of Faith chapter. Let's talk about all the people that did great things for God by faith and trust. Even though they couldn't see it, they did it anyway when God said to do it. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So these people, you know, the people in the Old Testament that are mentioned there, they didn't see the promise of the Messiah, did they? No. I mean, it was yet to come. So they served God anyway and said, hey, by faith, not by sight. And it says, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, these promises they hadn't even received yet, and confessed what? That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, one thing that enabled these people to have great faith and to step out and do great faith things for God is because they recognize, this is not my home. I'm just a stranger. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. So the worst thing can happen is they can shoot me. That's graduation day, right? It means that we don't fit in too well in this world. And these people recognize that they didn't fit in too well. I mean, you think of that guy named Noah. He didn't fit in too well. He said, you know what? I realize it hasn't rained ever. And I realize we're not near any big bodies of water right now. But God told me to build an ark. Therefore, I'm going to build an ark. Can you imagine the laughter that people had? But I think Noah got the idea this world's not all there is. And he lived pretty old, but this world's not all there is. There's a heaven to look forward to. And he didn't fit in too well. I think they ridiculed him and laughed. To be real honest with you, Jesus didn't fit in too well either, did he? I mean, you'd think the people that would have embraced him the hardest and the strongest were the ones that opposed him because he didn't fit in too well. You see, we have customs as Christians. I'm just going to call them customs. That's not really the right term, but maybe it helps us to the light bulb to come on as far as not fitting in so well. We have some customs, if you will, that do not fit in too well with this world. Number one, being thankful for what we got. This is probably the most discontent America ever. I mean, everybody wants everything else, and they're not happy with what they got, and we're entitled. And we Christians are supposed to be thankful. So you let people know how thankful you are, and people are going to look at you kind of crazy. What's wrong with you? What are you smoking? But we're supposed to be thankful, right? Amen. We don't fit in too well. We're supposed to follow the Bible, aren't we? That definitely doesn't make us fit in too well. we're supposed to treat people right. Right? Treat people right. And when we do that, people are like, oh, no, you weren't supposed to do that. You should have just punched him out, or you should have. We're supposed to deny ourselves, all right? The world says, no. Self, promote self. The philosophy of the world says you promote self. It's all about you. Go for the gusto. Don't worry about anybody. Step on anybody you can to get a little higher, right? Putting God first doesn't fit in too well. You see, it means if we're citizens of heaven, it means we don't fit in too well in this world. We lived in Connecticut. I alluded to it earlier. We lived in Connecticut for a couple years. We both worked for Sikorsky Aircraft. She worked in their finance department. I worked in their ground test division. I have to admit, ground test was a little bit safer than flight test. I think it would have been kind of cool to be in flight test, but I was always in ground test. But the flight test, people got to get up in the helicopters and test them as they were flying. You know, I could test them on the ground a whole lot better and a whole lot safer. I work for a helicopter company, but I can't figure out what your options are whenever something quits. They have this one thing called auto rotation. You know, the main prop that maybe the wind. I'm not so sure it's ever worked, but there's a theory out there about it. But the point is, I was in ground test, not flight test. But when we were in Connecticut, I stood out a little bit. Can you imagine why I stood out a little bit? Because I talk different. So we had a company. I'm really not sure of how many worked there at the time, but let's say thousands. You know, like 12,000 people or something. I don't know, but more than that. But a huge facility. I mean, you got it because helicopters are pretty big, some of them. And, you know, it was a manufacturing facility. And I'll tell you, I got to do something. I don't know if I told you this or not. But see, Marine One, the helicopter, Marine One is a Sikorsky helicopter. And there's more than one Marine One. Because they have service, you know, they service them. And I got to go down. I wasn't working. I guess I just took a break or something, but I went down in the area where I looked through a window, and out there was Marine One, and they were servicing Marine Ones. I thought that was pretty cool. But at Sikorsky, I stood out. I called Amy. I think I've shared with this before, but I would call her and ask for Amy. I didn't have to identify who I was or anything. They'd know, and then they'd jokingly back, Amy, Steve wants to talk to you, or just throw one of the worst accent they could. And seriously, I can think of one guy in particular I worked with like just a little bit. I can almost come up with his name, I think. And I called and talked to him. I didn't have to identify who I was because the accent made me stand out. You see, we stand out in this world. We don't fit in too good. Because seriously, we're not supposed to talk like the world either, if you want to take it that far. We're not supposed to talk like the world. We're not supposed to think like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. You see, being a citizen of heaven means we don't fit in too well in this world. Number five, it means that we should be shipping our money back home. Think about that for a minute. Being a citizen of heaven means that we should be shipping our money back home. I think this passage will help clarify that a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. This is the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Notice what he says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Huh? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But what are we supposed to do? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And here's a kicker. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, our real home is heaven, right? And you even think about someone who is overseas. You know, I think there's a pretty good tax advantage from what I understand working overseas because you don't pay taxes on it. But you know what's ultimately going to happen? And I remember Joe, I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning this. I remember him saying when he was in the military in the Philippines and things like that, that he'd get his military paycheck, which was very minimal at that point. But most of it would go back home to his wife, Doris Ann. And he'd just keep enough. You're sending your money back home because you have hopes of being in that home. And guess what? If we know Jesus, we're going to be home someday. So some people have all this stuff down here, but they've not sent much treasure to heaven. You know what I mean? And you say, what in the world are you talking about treasure? Things we do for God, things we do that have eternal consequences. That's the treasure that we're sending ahead. It means that we should be shipping our money, if you will, or our treasure, probably a better word, back home. We'll someday go back home. I really think it, don't you think it would be a shame to stand before Jesus and him look us straight in the eye and say, you didn't send any treasure ahead. Now you're saved. If we're standing there at the judgment seat of Christ, we know we're saved. We're going to make it to heaven. But shouldn't we be sending more of our treasure? Now, I'm not talking financial here. I mean, that's part of it, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the things that I do for the Lord. Everything I do for the Lord sends a treasure up to heaven. I mean, if I'm understanding these passages right. These are things that eternal, that are eternal. It means that we should be shipping our money, our treasures back home. Last point, almost done. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Number one, it means that we are under heaven's government. Number two, it means that we should get homesick sometimes. Number three, it means that this is not my home country. Number four, it means that we don't fit in too well in this world. Number five, it means that we should be shipping our money or our treasures back home. Last point, it means that we are, you ready for this? It means that we are ambassadors for God. We are ambassadors for God. There's two times that word ambassador is used. We're going to look at them. It means to be a senior, specifically by implication, act as a representative. Notice Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see that word ambassador? Who was Paul considering himself an ambassador of? God. Right? So, you think about this. If my home and my citizenship is ultimately in heaven, right? That's where my permanent residence will be. While I'm in this world, I need to be an ambassador. If this is not my permanent dwelling, I'm a representative of heaven. I am a representative of God. That's big. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 uses that word too. It says, as Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now you think about that. Now, the USA has ambassadors all around the world, right? And they would say, if you ask them, what is your country? They would say, United States of America, right? And while they're in that country as an ambassador, they are representing the interests of the good old USA, right? As a child of God, our residence, our citizenship is ultimately in heaven. And as we trudge through how many ever years we've got in this world, we are ambassadors for the Lord. We represent Him. And it's amazing how many people that look at us, and I get it. The longer I live and the older I get and the way I see the way Christians act sometimes, I get it. I know why they don't want like what we got, because we don't show what we got is real sometimes. But we are ambassadors. Everything we do reflects on our home country, heaven. So doesn't that seem to make sense that we need to be really careful about what we do for in this world representing as an ambassador to the Lord Jesus Christ? Tonight, now I know it's kind of a lot of points to kind of cover and comprehend, but I felt God wanted us to park on it a little bit. If you know Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you, on the authority of God's Word, you are a citizen of heaven. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my earthly citizenship. I'm thankful for America. I'm thankful for West Virginia. I'm thankful for all that. But I am even more thankful that I am a citizen of heaven. And what does that mean? One more time. And I'm going to ask you, it's almost like one of those shotgun messages. And we've been talking a lot about shooting guns, haven't we? We're not politically correct in this church. We've been talking about guns a lot. But it's kind of like a shotgun message, to the point we got several different things that I brought up tonight. So I'm going to repeat these points. And I want you, in your heart, say, God, which point you want me to grab a hold of? Which point do I need to hear tonight? Which point do I need to improve upon? Because we're all a work in progress, right? So I'm going to say these points. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Number one, it means that we are under heaven's government. We are under God's authority. Number two, it means that we should get homesick sometimes. Number three, it means that this is not my home country. Number four, it means that we don't fit in too well in this world. Number five, it means that we should be shipping our money, treasures, that is, back home. And number six, it means that we are ambassadors for God. Ambassadors for God. I'd encourage you, would you bow your head for just a moment? As I read those main points of the message tonight, what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Did God point one of those out, one area that you might be able to work on a little bit? You know, what a huge responsibility to be a citizen of heaven while living in this world. What a huge blessing that is, but what a huge responsibility. If God spoke to your heart about one of those areas, would you take just a moment in the silence of the moment to say, God, I see that I could probably do a little bit better in this area. Would you help me in that area? Take just a moment and do that, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for the privilege of being citizens of heaven. Lord, as ones that have trusted Lord Jesus as their Savior, Lord, we have an eternal home in the heavens reserved for us, and we praise you for that. But Lord, what a blessing it is, but also what a responsibility it is. While we live in these bodies of clay, as we live in this world that is so far away from you, Lord, may we be careful to represent you and your kingdom the best we can, Lord, to stand strong, to be a good ambassador for you in this world. Lord, we love and thank you. We thank you for our time together as we've looked at your word. And Lord, we're going to sing a song of invitation. If anyone here has any need at all, the altar is open. If they want to pray for a loved one, the altar is open. If they have a need in their heart they just want to come and talk to God about here at the altar, Lord, the altar is open. Lord, if there's anyone here or anyone listening in who has never trusted Jesus as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they tonight will call out to you in prayer and mean it from their heart and say something to the effect, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus really did, as the Son of God, die upon the cross for my sins and resurrect back to life. I confess Jesus. I claim Jesus as my Savior. And Lord, if they would do that very thing from their heart, mean it from their heart, not just flippantly say it, but Lord, mean it from their heart. Lord, wherever a person may be, they can trust Jesus right where they are. And we pray that'll happen, Lord, to a number of people, even tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name.